Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
Can we pray for the service this morning? Father, I thank you for just a great morning already. Lord, I just thank you that your presence is here, that you speak to us. Lord, I just pray that as we focus on you and your word, that it comes alive to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's an honor to be here. Thank you all for having me, and I'm going to jump right in. I asked Pastor Yu, I said, Pastor Eugene, like, y'all are doing this new series, All In. What's that mean? He's like, well, it's like all in. You know, like all in. I was like, what is it about? It's like going all in. So I titled the message today, Going All In. Are y'all ready to go all in? So I don't watch much TV. A lot of people think I'm kind of odd just because I typically, we don't have internet, we don't have cable, no Wi-Fi, none of that stuff. We have like bunny ears. Y'all get bunny? Anybody still have bunny ears and only bunny ears? Come on, I feel y'all, thank you. And But I do on occasion, if I can get it, I'll watch the World Series of Poker. Y'all ever watch the World? Anybody here? Come on, I know we in church, but you can admit to watching anybody watch the World Series of Poker? I mean, I love watching like the finals. You know why? Because invariably, it comes down to millions of dollars and somebody taking a big old pile of chips and they push them to the middle of the table. And you know the next thing they always do? They stand up. They stand up because they know what's on the line, that there's something at stake and usually millions of dollars, and they're putting everything on the line in one moment. And the reality is that we live moment by moment. You know, the only thing that we have is right now. You know, the Bible says that God is the God of yesterday, today, and what's the next part? No, it's not tomorrow. It's forever. You want to know why? Look it up. It's not tomorrow. I always thought that too. It is forever because tomorrow never comes. The past is the past, and you're not going to repeat it, and you can't go back. I know we'd all like to, wouldn't we? All we have is right now, and it's today. That's all we have. So if we're going to go in, where does that really even begin? We can go all in. Where does it begin? Because I really feel like I have a word for O-Town today. I really do, but I'm not starting where that word is, but I'm going to end up there. Y'all following me? Okay, good. Because this is where going all in begins. It begins right here in our mind. And let me just tell you, the battlefield absolutely 100% is in the mind. That's where the fight is. Listen, we fight in three arenas. Y'all know that because we're three parts. So is God. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. But let me tell you where those converge. Our body, our soul, and the spirit, where it converges in our mind, because there is a war over your destiny. There is a war over your heart and your soul. Do you know that? And my prayer is today that you recognize that God is calling you, calling us, calling as our Savior's church, Church of the King, a family of churches to bring life to what is dead in our communities. Man, it feels like I'm preaching at home. Y'all know Lake Charles and Opelousas are pretty similar. I love Lake Charles. It's kind of rough, though. It's almost 50-50 down the line, white and black, rich and poor. And I'm watching God move, and you know, the spirit that's in operation over Lake Charles. I remember when we first moved there 11 years ago, and I was sitting down with an old pastor who had retired just a few years before, Pastor Howard Holton from Revival Center. And I'm eating lunch with him at Outback. I took him out to eat because I just wanted to pick his brain. He was a pastor there for 40-something years, and I said, Pastor Holton, tell me, like, what's going on spiritually? Like, what's like the spirit in operation over Lake Charles? And he's the slowest eater I've ever been around. Man, and he never even looked up from his steak at Outback. And he said, spirit of division. And let me tell you, God is breaking that spirit of division, and he's using you to do it. God's called us to bring life. Where does that begin? Here's where it begins. It begins in our thoughts. And here's why this is important, because thoughts, you know, a thought turns into this. They turn into words. Whether you recognize it or not, your thoughts are going to turn into words. And this is interesting because if you ever wonder what's going on in the inside of you, is a real simple way to find out. Monitor the words that are coming out of your mouth. Luke 6:45, Matthew 12:34 say the same thing basically. From an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why does going all in begin in our mind and continue with it begins here because we'll know whether or not our mind is the mind of Christ or the mind of the world around us or the mind of us by the words that we're speaking. But here's, and I want you to see how important thoughts are. So it goes from thoughts to words and from words to deeds. Because you think something long enough, you're going to talk about it. And when you talk about something long enough, you're going to end up doing that thing. It's amazing to me the number of people that go, I can't believe I did that. Well, I can, because we've all been there and done it. Where did it start? It started right here in what we were thinking. Then it came out of our mouth. I remember I was taking a trip a few years ago with some good friends, and they're just pillars in our church, and we end up in a high-speed chase. I know that sounds crazy, but it was Houston, and there was a wreck, and there was a hit and run, and so I'm driving, and this car comes around and smashes a vehicle in front of us, and the lady in the back, just this amazing word, and wasn't really amazing, it was pretty shocking and loud, came out of her mouth when this guy smashed right in front of us. Ah! And after the chase was done, it ended in an arrest, not ours, theirs. She said, I don't know where that came from. Like, I do. Because from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, but it begins here. Thought, word, deed. What's the next progression? Thought, word, deed. Your deeds will become your habits. Habits aren't necessarily bad things, though often habits are considered. Well, that's a bad habit. There's some good habits. You have one right now. You at church this morning. Man, I hope that you're reading your Bible every day and that you're seeking God. That's a great habit. Here's the transition from thoughts to words to deeds to habits, and your habits will ultimately define your character. And this is important because your character will ultimately be your destiny. And my heart for you is that you get that. When we look at the book of Romans in chapter 8, it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. You see that? Your sinful nature, if it controls things, it's leading to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and to peace. What you think about matters. And I want you to get this. Your inner dialogue matters. Your inner dialogue matters. Why? Why does my inner dialogue matter? Because here's a truth you just need to know. Your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. That's why Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above. That's why we're called to have the mind of Christ. Because our life moves in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Listen, I want you to go all in, to go, I want to go all in. And like you're pushing everything you got, all of you to the middle of the table and you're standing up for Jesus. But it's not going to happen if you're not setting your mind on Christ. We got to set our mind on things above. We have to recognize that there's a battle that rages inside of us. Our inner dialogue matters because it's reflective of what's going on the inside. And let me just tell you, many people want to go all in. Man, I want to do what God has for me to do. But I keep getting tripped up. I keep falling back into these patterns that I hate. I keep going back to the same place that I came from, and I don't like it. Y'all know anybody like that? What does the Bible tell us about that? And this is all introduction, but I'm going to be right on time. You'll see. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says this. It says, we're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. Isn't it logical, though, to go to battle for what you know God's calling you to and trying to do it all yourself? Isn't that normal? Come on, if you're like me, like I can be fiery. I'm a little on the ADD side, the excitable side. I was a kids pastor for 8 years. I loved it because I was kind of off the wall and brainiac, and kids have like a 2 to 3 minute attention span. And if you have anything that lasts longer than 6 minutes and you haven't shifted gears, there's a problem. So I can shift gears real quick. And I don't like the fact that there's a spiritual battle that rages, but we don't fight it as humans do in the natural. We have to do it in the supernatural. It says, we're human, we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down, what is that word? Strongholds. We use God's weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. Let me just tell you, that thing that keeps you from stepping into what you know God has for you, what is it? I mean, it has a lot of names, everything from selfishness, addiction, depression, whatever it is. Let me tell you, that's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. It's like a fortified place where the enemy camps out in your life. And even though you want to get to the place where you're going all in and you're living 100% the life that God has for you, it's like this thing keeps tripping you up, like you can't get rid of it because it's like a place where the enemy has a root in your life. And the Bible says that God's mighty weapons knock down those strongholds of human reasoning to destroy false arguments. Look at the next verse. It says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And my prayer for you today is that you know how to go all in and that you obey God in everything. And so I wrote this. And this is really the word that I feel like God gave me for you guys today. You have to speak to your strongholds. And if you go, you know what, I've spoken to my strongholds, God's done an unbelievable and amazing work inside of me. Then let me tell you, you can look around in your community and you can speak to those strongholds as well. There's a tremendous destiny on what God is doing in Opelousas. Y'all know that, right? Y'all know this isn't the norm. Y'all know this is a small town that's racially divided, that's in St. Landry Parish, which fights for the lowest of everything in Louisiana. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm just like, statistically, do y'all know that's true? Yeah. And let me tell you what God delights in. Taking the areas where the enemy sets up camp and says, oh yeah, God, look at this. You can't do nothing. And God comes in like a flood and destroys the enemy. But it's contingent on us, it's contingent on you, and I'm excited because I really believe that there's a future that is coming that's not based on a building, but a building will be the outward expression of what God is doing inside of the people in Opelousas as a light in the darkness for a whole region. To go all in, you got to speak to the strongholds. You got to speak to the strongholds. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. And this is the text that I want to speak to you from today. In Ezekiel 37, we see a very unique prophet of God in the Old Testament. And just a little background is Ezekiel's been prophesying for years. He's a contemporary of Jeremiah. If you know the Bible, Jeremiah was also a prophet. And in the Old Testament, he was called the prophet of doom because he pronounced judgment against Israel because it was doing its own thing. Well, Ezekiel, he was kind of like the storyteller that said simply the same thing. Jeremiah was a guy who wrote letters and was a words guy. God used Ezekiel to tell stories like pictures. Like, God told Ezekiel to take a big old area of clay in the middle of town and to make like a little Lego city of all of Jerusalem. I know this sounds crazy. God has us do some strange things sometimes. And he said, Ezekiel, I want you to build this little clay city of Jerusalem with the walls and people in it and houses. And then I want you to put an army all around it. And I want you to build siege ramps up to it. And then I want you to lay on your left side for 390 days, eating there, sleeping there, as a picture that this is what's going to happen to the city if they don't turn to God. Well, people hated on Ezekiel because he was considered a prophet of doom as well, until the very thing that he prophesied happened, and then his prophecies changed. And God continued to speak to him and through him, but the message was different. In Ezekiel 37, we see really what I see as the epitome of God's heart for Jerusalem. You see, before the Babylonians came in and they literally leveled the whole city, took captives, took people away. Ezekiel was considered this crazy guy that was prophesying doom and destruction. It's really a picture of what sin does in our life. But after the destruction took place, the prophecies began to be one, and the prophecies of hope and life. And Ezekiel 37 is like the pinnacle of this picture. It's a dream, a vision that God gives Ezekiel. Let's look in Ezekiel 37, verse 1. It says, the Lord took hold of me. You ever had God just take hold of you? Anybody here ever have a God experience where he just showed up? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand and say, I've had like a God experience. If you haven't, that's all right. I'm just going to believe in that God's going to give you a God experience where he takes hold of you. It looks different for everybody. But for Ezekiel, in this prophecy, in this moment, it was a vision. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. So he has this vision where God's just taken a hold of him. I don't know if he's sleeping or awake, but there's this picture, and he's on a mountaintop, and he's looking down on a valley full of dried bones. In verse 2, it says, he led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. So you see this. It's dried out bones. And then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? You know what's happening. He's looking at this valley full of dry bones, and he goes down into the valley, and God is right there with him. And God says to him, hey, can these bones they live again? And so I'm asking you in Opelousas, can the dead things, the stinking things, the gross things, the areas that have rotted and there's nothing but not even a carcass, just bones left, can those bones live again? Come on. Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied. I love his response because it's just so human. He's like, you alone know the answer to that. Like, I don't know. Can they live? You tell me. I don't know. Can I just say that sometimes it's okay to not know when God speaks something to us? Because he'll ask us questions. Have you ever had this question? Like, hey, what are you doing? Where are you? Why are you hiding? It's amazing. The first time that God speaks to people in the Bible, he asks questions. Adam and Eve. What did you do? Where are you? Why are you hiding? He comes to Ezekiel and says, can these bones become living people again? Y'all know anybody that's dead? Now, I'm not talking about they're in a grave, that you can go to the cemetery and you can put flowers on their headstone. I'm not talking about that. Y'all know people that are living, but you know for certain that there's no life in that body, even though they're breathing and going to work and have families. Y'all know anybody like that? Can they come to life is the question. And so often we say, man, I don't know. You alone know the answer to that. So here's what I really believe. If we want to go all in and see the prophetic word that God has for Opelousas, there's been so many, haven't there? Where God's just spoken of what O-Town is going to be and is already, but it's not in the fullness of it. And though there's lots of people that have come to life, there's so many more. What's the population of Opelousas? It's like 13,000, right? Something like that, am I about right? Let me just tell you. I mean, y'all are, it's amazing what God's doing here. But they still probably, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people. About right, maybe? 8,000? I mean, no, that we going, man, can they come to life? Come on, there's at least 8,000, right? Are y'all agree with me? Oh, we're going to have to answer that question. Can they become living? Like, can there be a spiritual birth inside of them? It'll be contingent on you going all in, on you saying, God, I believe what you have for me. And we're not going to go, I don't know, God, you know the answer to that. But we have a shift inside of us where we answer, yes, God, because we're following you. Ezekiel 37, you know, this is what I want you to get. If we're going to go all in, I just got three simple things. We've got to see from a different perspective. We got to see things from a different perspective. We can't look around us and go, look at everything dead. Look at this nasty valley full of dead bones. We can't look at people and go, they're so disgusting. I can't believe they do that. They're dead. They're dead. So how do we get not just a perspective that the world has on people who are broken and messed up and do stupid things? How do we get a God perspective? How do we get to the place where we can have God's perspective and we don't look at the things in our life or the things in people's lives around us and we look at them through the lens of death, but we look at them through the lens of what can be because we know that God is with us and he's just waiting on us to say, yes, it can come alive. Y'all following me? Good. How do we get that perspective? I'm going to go quick through this. So y'all just going to have to, if you're taking notes, you're going to have to take notes quick or you're going to have to listen fast. Here's how. Four simple things. We have to choose to first be near God. You are as close to God as you want to be. Stop saying, God, I just want to be near you. No, you need to, actually the book of James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You need to be near him. You need to hear him. God will speak if you spend enough time close to him. You need to be near him. You need to hear him. And when you do hear God, I pray that you're here and that you hear God. But I know that a lot of people have trouble hearing God. Let me just tell you, the first step is get near him and you'll hear him. And when you hear him, you'll be at a crossroads, because you'll decide the next thing if you believe him or not. But if you want a God perspective, you need to get near him. You need to hear him. You need to believe him. And here's what happens when you believe him. The natural outpouring of you actually believing God is you obey him. So practically, like, what does that look like? Like, can I just, because I'm into practice. Like, if it's not practical, I don't much care. Like, I just like things that are practical. Theology without practice is heresy. That means I know everything about the Bible, but you don't live any of it. So what does it matter other than make all Christians look like the hypocrite that you are? How do we get that God perspective? We're near him. We hear him. We believe him. We obey him. Here's how we get near God. Solitude. Man, this world screams at us. Y'all know you get no cell service in here. Y'all know that? I don't know if it's because the building's like lead lined or if like Opelousas was smart and they put jammers so the kids can't have phones up in here. I don't know, but I know this, that the world creeps in around us. And if we want to get near God, we have to get to the place of solitude. That's not isolation. That's the tactic of the enemy, to isolate you. Solitude is you choosing to step away from the craziness of the world and be near God. Solitude. The next one is sincerity. If you're going to hear God, you better be ready to get real, because God has this funny habit of picking out the areas in your life. When he puts his finger on them, you go, ow. If you want to, I want to hear from God. Do you really? Do you really want to hear from God? Because when you hear from God, let me tell you what he's pointing at, what he's poking at, what he's having you look at from his perspective, the dead things in your life and the world around you. And you better get sincere in recognizing that maybe we still got some dead areas inside of us, and that's why we're not seeing life all around us. The third thing, you want to believe God, let me tell you, you get in Scripture. Because Scripture gets you ready. Because when you get into Scripture and you do it alone, seeking God, when you go, okay, God, I'm ready for you to show me something, here's what happens, is you getting ready for the next step. Here it is. You ready? It's speaking. Because God's called us to speak. In fact, let's look at verse 4. Can we do that? Verse 4 of Ezekiel 37. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath in you and make you live again. So God's calling him to speak to the bones. And he said, they're going to come to life. Verse 6, I'll put flesh and muscles on you and I'll cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you'll come to life. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. Here's the second point, and I want you to get this. To go all in, first you got to see from a different perspective. Then the second thing, if you're going to go all in, you have to speak from a place of security, a place of confidence, a place where you know, because you've drawn near to God, you've heard from him. You've believed him and you're stepping out in obedience, that you're speaking not something that's false, but something that you know is going to happen because God's shown up in your life. Am I making sense here, people? I mean, it's easy to go, I praise you, God. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to clap at church. I'm going to go, thank you, Jesus. I know everything's going to be all right, but deep down you're thinking, I can't believe I just experienced that. I can't believe that this person was taken from me. I can't believe that this bill came in. And we'll come to church and speak, oh God, you're so good, but somewhere deep down inside there's a sincerity issue, because we got some dead areas of doubt and unbelief, because we're going, God, why didn't you show up? Let me tell you, that's just a very human thing to do. I'm not saying that from a place of condemnation, but from a place of hopefully inspiration, where you can recognize that God's called you to speak from a place of confidence because you've spent time with him. Because you've heard from him, because you believe what he says, and the natural outpouring is you stepping out and speaking confidently. You know, there's Ezekiel looking at all these dry bones. God's going, can they live again? I don't know. Well, this is what I want you to do, Ezekiel. They're going to come to life, but only when you speak to them. Look at that. Man, I love it. Look at verse 7. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. This is a great verse. He's speaking. Can they live again, Ezekiel? I don't know. You're going to have to speak to him. Okay. And as he speaks, they come to life. There was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. They begin to come to life. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. Let me tell you, when you speak from the place of confidence and security, knowing that you've been with God, you've met with him, you've heard from him, you believe him, and you're stepping out and speaking, things come to life in your life and in the world around us. And let me tell you right now, when we speak to the strongholds of death in the city around us, in the families around us, inside of us, and because we've spent time with God, and it's not just us trying to conjure up something and go, oh, well, this is what the pastor said, so I'm going to speak it. No, no, no. Let me tell you, saying what a pastor said has zero power in your life. But you saying what God has spoken to you brings dead things back to life. This is the spirit of Jesus, resurrection from the dead. Speak from a place of security. Man, verse 7 is awesome. He speaks and things come to life, and it's great. And then there's verse 8, which is terrible. At least if you're Ezekiel, because look at verse 8. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. That's cool, right? The skin formed to cover their bodies. But look at this. He did exactly what God told him to do, but they still had no breath in them. They had no breath in them. Well, wait a minute. hold on. Let me go back. Verse 4, speak a prophetic message. These bones say, listen to the word of the Lord. God says, I'm going to put breath in them and make you live again. You got to speak it. He did exactly what God said, didn't he? Did he? Go back and look at the verses. We're not going to put them up on the screen, but that's what he said. When you speak, they're going to come to life. But what happened? Like, the rattle, the bones, the skin come over, but they're not breathing. They're not breathing. That had to be supremely discouraging. I imagine that Ezekiel went, God, I did, like, you asked me, can they live again? I don't know. You tell me, God. And then God says to him, you need to speak to him. So I'm believing, and I'm stepping out in confidence, and I'm speaking. And, like, it's miraculous. Like, these bones rattle together, and there's skin that's covering them. I did what you said. And all I have is a dead body. They're still not alive. Let me tell you, this is where a lot of people walk away from God. Because they see some pretty amazing things, but they still feel like there's no life left for them. You're going to go all in, you got to see from God's perspective. You got to speak from a place of security. Let me tell you right now, your place of confidence and security is going to get shaken. That's why Jesus said, build your house on the rock of his word. And his word never fails. But listen to me carefully, and don't throw stones at me. His word never fails, but it often seems like it's going to. God is seldom early, like never in my experience. God is never early with what he promises, but he's also never late. Because remember, all we have is right now. So in the right now, if you're looking around and you're saying everything, like I've seen some pretty amazing and miraculous things take place. O-Town, have y'all seen some pretty amazing and miraculous things happen? Have you? This is miraculous. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop speaking. In fact, that's point 3. Stop doubting the end result. Stop doubting the end result. So many people doubt the end result. God, you said, I obeyed, and it looked like it was going to happen, but it didn't. God, you said, and they begin to doubt. This is where so many people walk away from God. My experience as a pastor, as a kids pastor for 8 years, then 11 years as a senior pastor, people give up in the red zone. Y'all know what that is in football, right? I mean, that's right on the goal line. Why is it so important to push through when you get right before the goal line? Because that's where the enemy always shows up the strongest. always shows up this right before you get into the place that God's promised. Man, the children of Israel, that first time around, they were literally on the goal line of what God promised, but they believed the lie of the enemy and they stepped back. Maybe you're here today and you believe the lie of the enemy. God, I did exactly what you said. I did when you said it. And yeah, it was kind of cool for a little bit, but like, I have not seen the results that you said. And let me tell you, here's the third thing. Stop doubting the end result. You need to stop stopping when you don't see what you want to see. Verse 9, then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. That doesn't even make sense. Speak a prophetic message to the, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. But if we read on, we see, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live. Again, verse 10, you see how the pattern, he had to stay near to God. He didn't walk away. He had to hear from God again. He had to be willing to hear. He had to believe God. And then verse 10 takes place. And what does verse 10 say? So I spoke. Everybody say, so I spoke. So I spoke the message he commanded me. And breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet. A great army. Man. And my prayer for you is that you get a God perspective on your life and your place in this life. That you spend time with God, that you draw near to Him. You get near to God. That you hear from Him. That you believe Him. And that you step out in obedience. And listen to me, this is the word for y'all. You speak to the strongholds. In your life, you speak to the strongholds. In your family, you speak to the strongholds in your city. But you speak the word of God. You're not going to conjure up anything except yourself. But when God speaks to you and he shows you something, he's saying, this is where the areas of death are, but I can bring life to it. You better speak the life that he gives you and the word that comes alive to you as you're in his presence. Get a God perspective. Man, if you get anything out of this message, you get near God. He'll speak to you. When you believe it and you speak it out, things come to life. And that's my prayer for you. It really is an honor to be here. But more than anything, we're all here not for a person, but for God to do something big in us and then through us. And let me tell you, it's both here and it's coming. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're in the place of that valley of dry bones, like things are dead in your life. Maybe you're here and your relationship with God is dead. Let me tell you right now, this message is for you. This message, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I just feel like there's areas in my life where really it's just dead. I just really believe that today it's a moment where God is speaking to you and he's saying, I'm here, I'm near, and I'm speaking to you. You can tell if your heart's beating out of your chest, you know that God's dealing with you. And my prayer is that you respond. Listen, nobody's looking around right now, but if you're here today and you go, Pastor, I know this message was for me, and I want to go all in today. I am choosing to go all because I know this message was for me. Maybe you're here and you're all in. Praise God, that's awesome. But maybe you're here and you know that God today is tugging on your heart, and he's calling out to you, and he's calling you to him. Nobody's looking around. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to go all in my relationship with Jesus. That's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you back here. I see you in the back. Anybody else? Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. I know that's me. Let's all just pray right now, just right where we are, because I just want to pray with you guys. There's nothing magical in a prayer, but there's something supernaturally powerful when we pray it from a place of sincerity, because we know God's speaking to us. Let's just pray together. Say, dear God, I turn to you. I turn from myself, from my sin. I surrender all to you. I give you my life. I receive your forgiveness. I want to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give those folks a hand? It's awesome. It's why we do what we do.